It's also known as Ayers Rock. Can be found in the center of the Australian desert.
Nope, that's not where I will be going.
You won't not go to the center of the Australian desert?
I just found it on the map. I was like, oh,
that sounds safe.
It's dead center. I will be over here.
You don't... No, it looks safe. You should do it.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddessings.
Episode 118.
Woo! And we're live. We're back in the studio.
We're back in the studio for one or maybe one more.
Maybe
we'll
one more.
Last hurrah before the big trip.
If you're not watching the video and you're listening, we're back in the OG Goddessings studio. AKA the Community Service Podcast Studio.
Yes, thank you, Craig.
We're back at my old place. We're recording in person. It's an exciting day.
It's very exciting. Boo didn't skip a beat. She nope. said, we're record. She's got her little tug out. She said, we're recording. I'm going to sit on your lap.
Yep, and so- Boo is here with us in studio. The famous Boo, Boobies McGee Olson is here with us live.
BM Olson.
Boo, do you have anything to say? She says no. She's been a little bit of a grumpy kitten. She let me know how she felt about me leaving.
She didn't like it.
We'll get into that and the what's new with me, but we have a really fun episode. So mm-hmm. we were so inspired last week when I started learning about Mount Shasta that we had to learn more about what does this whole energy vortex thing mean? What are the other places in the world that are these spiritual vortexes? We have a really fun episode planned. But first, I feel like we have a lot of catching up to do. There's been a lot moving around and happening, at least for me.
Oh my gosh. Will you go first this week? Because I'm just like seeing stars that you're even back in town and I need a minute to regroup. So I want to know, Sadie, what is new with you?
Oh my gosh. What's new with me? Okay. So obviously I'm back in LA at my old place.
Yay.
It's so weird. It's like, I just feel like I never left.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know everyone's waiting to hear the tea because I'm like staying with Craig, right? He left today. He has a tour date this weekend, but he picked me up from the airport. We're immediately just like laughing and having a great time, being clumsy as we always were. He like was trying to grab my bag for me and like accidentally grabbed my hair. And we're just laughing, howling. Missed his hyena laugh that just kind of hurts your ears because it's so high pitched. But we had a great couple days together. We had so much fun, which, you know, it's been such a weird breakup because we agreed on it and it's been really sad, but it's also nice that, you know, it's mm-hmm. just basically we've been acting like we never broke up, but it was nice to get to see each other and have those couple days. And we did so much fun stuff. So we had like 2 days together and it was so sweet. So something like during the basically 4 years that we were dating that Craig kept trying to make happen is go to this famous restaurant in Hollywood called Musso and Frank's. And they say they're the oldest restaurant in Hollywood.
Oh,
it's the like the old Hollywood. And even now, it's like the celebrity hotspot. It's very famous, famously like Marilyn Monroe and Frank Sinatra and Charlie Chaplin, like every name you can think of. That they were regulars there. They had their favorite booth or their favorite spot at the counter.
Oh, I want to go.
It's iconic. And I didn't even really understand what it was, just that Craig kept trying to make it happen for my birthday or an anniversary or another thing. And for some reason, it was always like we were celebrating those things on a Monday and they're closed on Monday. So it was just this weird thing where it never worked out for us to go. And he picked me up from the airport. He was like, guess what? I got us a reservation at Musso and Frank's tomorrow.
What better way to go to Musso and Frank's than celebrating
broken up.
A breakup? And I've always said that.
So we had a very romantic, lovely, fun little date night. And oh my gosh. Okay. So I just, this is going to be my whole week. You're like, we don't need to hear that much about a restaurant, but this place was so cool. So, you know, Craig described it to me as it's, you know, like famous old Hollywood, whatever. So, as I'm getting ready to go there, I'm thinking about how we've talked about in past episodes about like embracing celebrity energy mm-hmm. and making your energy big. So I was like, ooh, I'm going to play with this tonight. You know, like I'm going to this old Hollywood place. The energy is going to be, it's really old. The energy is going to be so cool there. And I want to play around with like walking into that place with my celebrity energy turned on. Because, you know, I haven't been going many places the past couple of months. I was excited. So
the woods.
I got dressed, feeling really cute. And we drove to Hollywood and we valeted the car. So we actually walked through the back entrance. And when you walk in, you walk past the kitchen first. And then you walk into this little back hallway where there's like the restrooms. And there's these two old phone booths. And Craig went to the bathroom, and so I was sitting by those phone booths, and I just was like, there's like a masculine ghost here. Like that was like, there's a spirit here. I was like, oh, this place is so haunted. Like, oh, like I just was like washed over me. And I mean, you can kind of assume if you're in old Hollywood that like every old building is haunted, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that that's the most amazing psychic insight I've ever had in my life, but I just like, we were by those old phone booths and I was just like, oh my God, this place is so haunted. So of course, once we got settled in, I looked it up. And it is indeed famously haunted. But so we walked through the back. So we walk in and there's like multiple different rooms. There's like the original room with this like counter with the, I mean, it's all original like design. Like it's, and the waiters are all wearing the original Musso and Frank uniforms. So they're these like red suits with these black lapels and bow ties.
Oh my God.
And they're running around so fast. This place is packed. It's busy and it's huge. And there's these waiters just flying by you all in the same outfits. And the first like 3 seconds we walked into the, through the back, and there's, I just, it just felt like I had to like brace myself. I got dizzy for a second because I felt like I had like walked into a new decade, like an old decade. But like, you know, like you felt like you walked through like a time portal, seeing all these waiters dressed like this and the energy of the place. And it also felt like someone had almost like pressed a fast forward button because they were all just moving so fast and so well coordinated. And then it kind of like went, like time went back to normal, and I like grounded back into the present. But it was just the most bizarre feeling. And Craig, I heard Craig go like, whoa, like he felt it too. Like it was palpable. It was so cool. And so I'm like, okay, Sade's celebrity energy. So we literally like couldn't find the front to check in for a reservation. But it was fun because we walked through, we saw this private dining area where, you know, to this day, like the really famous celebrities would reserve back there to have private dining and things like that. So we walked past that. There's this beautiful private dining room with like floor to ceiling glass lit up wine display. I mean, it was stunning. And then we finally find the reservation check-in, the hostess, and we check in and we have to wait for a couple minutes. But I feel like they kept, like, I don't know if something got mixed up, but I don't think we got the original table we were supposed to. And so, because they're looking over at us, and I don't know if she thought that one of us was someone or what it was, but I'm attributing it to my celebrity energy. Okay,
100%.
Is my point. But we waited about 5 minutes. We were a little bit early for our reservation, and then she comes over and she leans over. It's so loud in there, so she leans over to Craig, and I hear her say, "Oh, we were able to get you." And I couldn't understand who she said's table, because there's famously certain tables that are attributed to certain celebrities. And so we sit down. We're walking past all of these like tightly packed, you barely have any room tables. And they give us this gigantic table with settings for 6 people. And it's up on a ledge and it's overlooking the entire room. And it's got these tall walls around us. It's the best seat in the house.
Whose table was it?
Frank Sinatra's table.
No.
and so we sit down. Well, Craig's like, "Are you sure this is for us? Because there's so many play settings." And she's like, yeah, "You're sitting here." And they clear away some of the settings. So we sit down and I was like, whose table is this? I heard her, you know, say that. And he was like, I couldn't really understand her. I think she said Raymond or something.
you know, Ray Romano, it's his table.
And I was like, I was racking my brain. I was like, Raymond, who's a famous Raymond that she would bother to tell us? We're just trying to figure it out. And then we were lucky. So our waiter wasn't very talkative, but the table right in front of us, the waiter was super talkative and telling him all the history, and we could hear it and stuff. And we overheard him. He pointed at us and said, that's John Travolta's favorite table. So then I had a clue. I was like, okay, so we're sitting at John Travolta's table. And I Googled that. And John Travolta's table is Frank Sinatra's table.
Well, now it's Sadie Olson's table.
And now it's Sadie Olson's table. It was so amazing. It was so amazing. We were overlooking the entire restaurant. It was, we just felt so cool sitting there. It was so fun. And so there's a couple things. So one is that there's a really cool story of, oh gosh, I can't remember who it was, a famous actor and actress that went to Italy for their honeymoon, and they ate at Alfredo's restaurant. And they loved the fettuccine Alfredo there, whose namesake. It's the Alfredo.
Oh.
It's his name. It's named after him.
Why did I never
put
that together?
I didn't either.
I'm like, no, Alfredo's a sauce.
Right. It's because it's
named after a man. Okay.
So the namesake of fettuccine Alfredo, they're at his restaurant, and they're like, oh my God, this is the best dish we've ever eaten. And they're like, can we get the recipe? We want to take it back to our favorite restaurant. And he's like, no way. So they go back the next night with a golden spoon and a golden fork as a gift, and they say, please, Alfredo, can we have the recipe? And he says, okay. And so they bring the recipe back to Musso and Frank's, and so they're the only ones that have this original, you know, besides the family, Alfredo's family restaurant in Italy, that have this recipe. So naturally, I ordered it. Now, I'm not a big fettuccine Alfredo girl. Like, that's not my favorite go-to. It's so rich. I feel like I can take only like 3 bites. Mm-hmm. But it was so good. And it was a little bit more like bitey. Like, you know, cheese, it's like sharper, like a cheese that's a little bit sharper.
Oh, yum.
Than a typical, like, really creamy. It was obviously very creamy, but it was like, I had a little bit of a sharpness to it. It was so good. So I had the original fettuccine Alfredo. And then we were so full. If you ever go there, my favorite thing we got was the French onion soup that they're also famous for. Oh, it was so good. And we got a Caesar salad that was amazing. And Craig got steak that was amazing. And I had my fettuccine Alfredo. But then we overheard that waiter at the table in front of us say, you guys have to get the cheesecake. This is the cheesecake that Frank Sinatra himself requested we carry. And it gets flown in every morning into LA.
And from we were where? Like,
I didn't hear where, but then somebody DM'd me and said it was from New York, that they also used to get it.
Oh my God.
So I think it gets flown in from New York. We didn't catch where that the waiter said, but it gets flown in every morning. It's not like frozen and taken in a truck. You know what I mean? It's like fresh cheesecake. And so we were so full, but we were like, we can't not get Frank Sinatra's favorite cheesecake, especially now that we know where our butts are sitting, where Frank Sinatra's butt was sitting while he ate this cheesecake. So we got it, and oh my God, it was just a plain cheesecake, and they gave you some fruit on the side, some berries. It was so good. I'm a big cheesecake fan.
Me too.
Cheesecake.
It might be my favorite dessert.
I think it is. When I was little, I'd always get cheesecake as my birthday cake because I didn't like regular cake.
So good.
The cheesecake was so good. And then I clicked on, I brought up the article so I can tell you a couple of the famous ghosts that are said to be seen there at Musso and Frank's. Because, okay, do you all remember when Juliet and I did the episode where we went to visit the Hollywood Forever Cemetery? And remember, there was a lot about Rudolph Valentino's ghost, that he was like,
yes,
the most active one. So he is the one that is seen by the phone booths that I was in the back of the restaurant where I was by, that I said initially felt, where I was like, oh,
ooh,
it's haunted.
Ooh.
Right?
And they still have phone booths back there?
Yeah. And they're like the ones where you have to spin to the number. Like, they're like the
touch dial?
I didn't pick up to see if there was a dialer or not. I imagine there's not. I was like nervous. I was like,
okay, if I go, I'll check.
Yeah. But there's two there, and they're just completely original. It's absolutely incredible.
Oh my gosh.
It's such a fun place to go. So Rudolph Valentino, I was like, oh, I remember that name. He's all over the Hollywood Cemetery. And then Orson Welles is a famous ghost there. And then what was the other ghost that they said is seen there? Now I can't find it. But to this day, like, Brad Pitt goes there, and it just, like, everyone's, it's still just like this iconic Hollywood hotspot. You can do a ghost tour that goes past it and they tell you all about it. But these aren't the ghosts, but some people that you might recognize: F. Scott Fitzgerald went there, Humphrey Bogart, Alfred Hitchcock, Dorothy Parker, Charles Bukowski, Ernest Hemingway, William Faulkner, Marilyn Monroe. I mean, just amazing. And they say, Charlie Chaplin is a ghost that is seen there. And his favorite spot was this table in, I think, the original room, it said, and it's kind of hidden in private, and it has a window to look out onto the street. And they said they've had people take a picture there, and very faintly it looks like him, like, looking out the window. Yeah. It's just absolutely incredible, and it was so fun.
I just Googled because I wanted to know. So it's called a rotary phone.
Rotary phone, yeah.
Girls born in 1991. You gotta look it up if you wanna know.
I saw a TikTok or I don't know, a reel, wherever I was on, that it was, someone stitched it, but the beginning was like a you know, young girl that was probably like 16 or something, that was like, hear me out, what if we had like one phone that was always at home and we all shared it, and then it was stitched with, like, you know, a guy like our age, like 30 something, and he was like, that's a landline. That's a landline. Do they not? They don't know about landlines. Like, she thought she had, like, had this genius idea. She's like, hear me out, what if? And, like, it never went anywhere, and it was just for everyone to use when they were at home. She's like, that's a landline. They don't know about landlines.
She's having a little past life memory.
Oh, wow.
Oh, are you getting more comfortable, my little skull girl?
So, yeah. So, Musso and Frank's, 10 out of 10 recommend if you're visiting LA, if you live in LA. Super fun date night or girls night, whatever. It was so fun. And they're famous for their cocktails, too. I didn't get one, but it'd be fun. They have, like, a huge long bar. They film La La Land there, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's in so many movies. So
okay, done. I'm going.
It's amazing. But yeah, it's just been so nice to be home. There's four cats that live here now, so I've been in literal cat heaven. They're just always, you're always tripping over one. There's always one following you around. There's always one laying on you, or multiple. It's just amazing. I love that there's four cats here. I was like, told you, I tried to get more cats. I was trying for a third the whole time I lived here. Then there's four when I come back. But it makes me so happy. And yeah, I just, being back here, I love this neighborhood. And I'm excited to, like, go on my trip. But I definitely want to, when I come back and get my own place, like, be in this neighborhood again. I just feel so at home here. Like, this beach is my beach, and love being a regular at all my old haunts. And it's just felt so good to be home. And I just feel like my creativity is flowing more, and just seeing, like, all the angel numbers and signs, and it's just felt really good to be home. So
are we going to go to our restaurant?
Hell yeah, we are.
Okay, I thought about it. I got excited. I'm like, oh my God, they're going to be so excited to see us.
I know. Yeah, so that's what's been new with me. I leave for New Zealand. Well, when this episode drops on Monday, I'm leaving on Tuesday night. I have my flight. It's like a midnight flight. Then I'll be on a plane for 16 hours, and then I'll be in New Zealand, and I'm hopping off the plane and going to the Shire.
Amazing.
Oh, I rewatched, Craig and I rewatched Lord of the Rings last night, because I was like, I have to watch it before I go again. It's been a while. And I was just, you know, it was funny because I was like, I really, you know, Lord of the Rings gets kind of stressful towards the end. I really just like it when they're in, like, the Shire and, like, Riverdale or wherever the elves live. I was like, I don't really like it after that. It's too sad and stressful. Craig was like, so you don't really like the movie? I was like, no, I do, but I just want to rewatch when they're having a party in the Shire over and over forever. It's my favorite.
There's this movie called, oh my God, what is it called? It's my favorite movie. I can't remember what it's called. It has John Krasinski and Maya Rudolph. We're gonna wait.
I don't know.
Hold on. What's the movie? Maya Rudolph movie with John Krasinski. It's something about like going home. Away We Go. Away We Go. It's my it's like one of my top five favorite movies. And there's a scene where they go to a friend's house, and that friend has like a lot of kids, and they watch The Sound of Music.
Oh yeah.
But the parents say that the movie ends after like goodbye so long, like after the kids go upstairs into bed, and they're like, wasn't that a great movie? Like, they end the movie before like anything bad even happens.
That's oh my god, this is making me remember another thing about a movie. Okay, so if you're new around here, you won't remember this, but we all remember that I became obsessed with Eat, Pray, Love. Yes. Julia Roberts goes to Bali. We're hosting our Bali retreat. Did you know there's a new movie that Julia Roberts goes to Bali?
Oh, with George Clooney?
Yeah. I watched it on the plane. I didn't even know they went to Bali in that movie.
Was it a good movie?
You know, it was fine.
That's always the answer. You know, it was a movie.
I loved it. But it was your classic cheesy, you know what's gonna happen movie. It's like, okay, it was like a Hallmark movie, but with really
famous Bali.
actors and actresses in Bali.
That sounds like my kind of movie. I'm gonna be honest.
It was hilarious because I almost clicked Eat, Pray, Love again, and I was like, no, I'll watch something new. And I was like, oh, Ticket to Paradise. And I was like, wait, Julia Roberts is going to Bali in this movie too?
She really has a connection to that place.
So that was so fun and made me so excited for our trip there because it's beautiful. And, you know, it's a love story in Bali. So the whole time I was like, maybe I'm going to fall in love in Bali. That sounds nice. Manifesting it.
I mean, it's so funny. Somebody was telling me, they're like, oh, Sadie will like find a boyfriend on the road. I was like, Sadie will find 12. Like, what do you mean one?
Pretty much, yeah. I like having crushes. So when I moved to a new city, it's like you have your crush of that, you know, your boyfriend of the week, your flavor of the week.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We all know, my love affair with Robert Martin has fizzled. We've stopped sending emails, probably for the best.
We were all waiting on the edge of our seats.
I know. Well, there's nowhere to go. I mean, I'm sure I could keep it going, but why? So that was a sweet moment. Is there anything else new with you aside from all of that?
Just a couple things. Only like 22 minutes of stuff. That's it. I could probably find more, but no. That's what's new with me. I'm about to, you know, leave again, and it's crazy. But what's new with you?
Oh my gosh. I mean, for definitely the largest, biggest thing that's new with me is your home. But what's new with you is what's new with me. I also practiced celebrity energy, but not at Mussolini's, at at some like all you can eat sushi place. Ooh. Out in like Anaheim. I was like, this will be the moment to try. And I set the intention. I said, I'm gonna walk into this restaurant and everybody's head is gonna turn. And I watched like magic, people like turn around, and I wasn't wearing anything fancy. I wasn't in my usual glittery garb. I was just in a normal outfit. So if you're listening to this, try this out when you go somewhere.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's really fun. I also did it when we were live on Instagram this week, and I imagined pushing my energy out like really far, and every time I did it, more people joined.
There was a lot of people this week, I noticed.
So that works. What else is new? Oh my gosh, I'm very excited. I've been getting all these ads for this Barbie experience.
Ooh.
There's like a, you know how I went to the Britney Spears experience?
Yes.
Which was one of the best days of my life, top 10. And Victor took me on Valentine's Day 2020. So 4 weeks before the world shut down for years.
That's right. Yeah.
We were in a ball pit. We lost our group. We just stayed in the ball pit for like 30 minutes. We had so much fun. So I think there's a ball pit at this one. And I'm like, oh my God, it's like the earth has healed. I get to go back into a ball pit again. Like in 2021, there were no ball pits.
Oh no.
Heck no. So I'm so excited. And my mom is the biggest Barbie fan in the whole world. So she got on the wait list and waited and waited, and she got us tickets for, and my dad's really excited too. So the four of us, my mom, my dad, my sister, and me are going to go to the Barbie experience. So stay tuned. I think that's, we're going in May or June. It's not for a minute, but I'm excited. And then yesterday we recorded a podcast episode with the Let's Talk Peaches podcast. And so I want to say thank you, Lindsay and Nicole, for inviting us on.
Yeah, it was so fun.
It was so fun. It was so fun to talk about like business and entrepreneurship and dive into all of that, like in the mindset related to that. And that's going to come out, I think, in the next week or two. And we'll definitely repost about it. So if you want to check out another podcast with two amazing women, Let's Talk Peaches.
Yeah. Shout out.
Shout out. Let's see. Sweetie Bird needs her wings clipped again. I am really giving her all the chances in the world to prove to me that she will not fly into anything. And she is not passing the test.
She needs a little helmet.
She needs a football helmet. You know what she flew into a couple nights ago? A crown molding. I'm like, that's not even reflective. Just straight into the crown. I said, we're getting your wings clipped. I'm sorry. Like, I give her chances. We try.
Yeah.
And she says, no. Maybe she's blind. I don't know. But no, she eats. She knows what she's doing. But it was really funny because our neighbor came over and was like, oh, she's looking bigger. And I'm like, oh no, am I feeding her too much? So I'm like, I have to weigh her. You're supposed to weigh your bird every day. I've never weighed my bird. So I got the little kitchen scale we have and I tried to put her on it and she freaked out. She's like, what are you doing? I'm not standing on this. This, what are you doing? Flies around, bashes into walls, and I'm like, oh
sweet
my God.
Girl.
And then lands up on a light, and I posted it on my story. And my bird has the cutest cleavage in the world.
Oh, yeah, she had little boobies.
She got little boobs.
A new boobies McGee in town.
Tweetum's McGee Piper. So that was pretty funny. And I weighed her. She's freaking fine. She weighs the perfect amount. She's not obese. So
Boo, on the other hand, is looking plumper than when I left her.
Boo is just loving life. So that was an adventure by myself at home. And something I'm really excited about is today in the Alchemy Collective in like 3 hours. Although when you listen to this, it will have happened last week.
But you can catch the replay.
But you can watch the
replay.
And
everyone always loves the replays. It's fun to be in the live energy, but the replays are fucking amazing. Get in on it.
I have prepared a class that I believe down to my tiniest quantum particles that I was born to teach this class.
And I've created a couple classes where Juliet didn't look at it because she just wanted to enjoy it, and I have not looked at this class.
Oh my God, I hoped you wouldn't. I was so like, I'm ready to love
enjoy
it.
And I'll, you know, chime in when I feel inspired, but yes. I'm ready to sit back and enjoy this one and be told how fucking big I'm gonna be.
Yeah, it's all about taking bold action and brave action and big Aries energy. And I'm an Aries rising. And I put together in the beginning of this like 35 page presentation, there's a couple pages that have a photo of me as a child, like with the dream, and then me acting it out. And like, I just wanted to show you, like, I was literally made to teach on this. And so if you are somebody listening who's like, I want to take big action, I want to take brave action, this doesn't come naturally to me. It doesn't come naturally to most people.
No, definitely not me.
And that's normal, and that's okay. I'm the weirdo where I love going for it. I love knocking on 10,000 doors. I love, like, the best email I got today, oh, and I'll tell this story too, is my most played song of 2022, I'm not gonna say what it was, but it's an amazing song. You know what it is. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
But you'll put the pieces together. I was like, I wanna work with that producer.
Oh yeah. I thought you meant your most played song.
I know. I told that to Victor too, and I said the same way. He was like, "What do you mean?
The song I listened to the most.
Yes, in 2022 by a long shot was produced and released by this particular human being.
Yeah,
and I thought I'm gonna reach out, and he was very sweet. He's like, "I love your voice." Like, writes back immediately. And he's like, "I love your voice. I love your stuff. Like, maybe we'll talk about putting you on my record label." And it's funny because now that I'm like in my 30s, like that idea doesn't like a record label. Like, it doesn't do what it would have done for me like 10 years ago. I'm like, I mean, maybe like we'll talk.
Yeah.
But I want to write something that he can put out. And he said, "I'm going to be honest, I'm going to say no to most things you send me, but like, please send me stuff." So I sent him two songs, and I got the sweetest email today that was like, "No, thank you. I don't want these, but like, let's talk about this and let's talk about this." And I was on the phone with Irene today, and I said, "I love hearing no. It means I'm trying." Mm-hmm. It's like my favorite. Oh, no? Okay, I'll try again.
Well, we were talking about this in the Alchemy Collective Discord because we said, you know, what's a bold move you can take this week? And I loved everyone showing up and answering because there was such an array of different answers. Mm-hmm. And I think a couple times someone said, "I don't know if this counts as a bold move, but I want you to take that, like, when you're thinking about how can I make a bold move this week, or how can I, you know, show up for myself in a new way this week, I want you to take away the like the warning label or the, you know what I mean? It's like, no. We're all in different places and we're all in different parts of our spiritual journey and our manifesting journey. And what was a bold move to me 5 years ago is very different to what a bold move means to me today.
Yeah.
And they're equally valid and they're equally exciting, right? And so talking to you alchemists, no warning labels with the things you share, no saying, "I don't know if this counts" or "is this bold enough?" We're not doing that. But it, like, think about it. Like, it's sending a DM or sending an email or making a phone call. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You hear the word no or you're ignored.
Oh my God, I love hearing no. It means they listened. It means they know who I am.
Yeah.
And I have a foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I mean, I work towards the yes. But I mean, when you're at least in the entertainment industry, you usually don't hear anything back.
Right.
So to hear a no is like, yes.
Yeah, like they heard made it. A point to say it. So it's
exciting.
It's like the only guarantee that you're not going to get what you want is if you don't try, if you never send the message, if you never, you know, take the action. Like, that's the only guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
If you put yourself out there, there's no guarantee that you're going to get exactly what you think you want right now, but you're going to get somewhere that's not where you're at right now. You know, you're going to get somewhere,
yeah.
And it's going to be exciting, and the vision's going to change and shift and grow. And, you know, it's just like, that's the only guarantee is if you don't bother trying at all. So I'm so excited for this masterclass and to continue making bold moves with all of our alchemists.
Oh my God, it's gonna be so good. Like, I've never been more excited to teach anything. And I'll give you a tiny little preview. I do a lot of readings in the background where people will ask things like, "I'm this old, I don't have this type of training. Is it even worth pursuing? Is it even worth doing?" You know, like, there's somebody asking about being a singer right now. And every part of my body just wants to shake them and be like, just do it.
Yeah.
You get to live your life on earth singing, dancing, modeling, doing what you love, writing poetry, starting a community, whatever it is. Like, why is it only valid if it ends up on a billboard?
Right.
And I'm all for being on a billboard.
Yeah, we're manifesting our billboard.
And it will happen. But I also don't care if it doesn't, because this is still amazing and exciting and like exactly what we want to be doing. Like, if we, like, it's just, it's an interesting mindset shift, because if we would have sat down with a psychic, let's say, and said, you know, we don't know anything about podcasts.
Is it worth it?
Is it worth it? I would hope that they would be like, yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, yes, it is. And you got to be bold and you got to be brave and you have to release what like success means or what worth it means. Because, you know, everything always goes back to like my grandmother. Like she was an actor her whole life. She was a musician her whole life. She has a reel and a resume that would blow you away. Nobody on the street would ever recognize her. And she spent her whole life doing what she loved.
Right. She had the time of her life doing all of that. She had
the time of her life and her babies and grandbabies and the stories I tell to her great grandbabies, they're going to be inspired by her forever. And it's just, we have to bring our work forward. It doesn't matter how much.
That's the success. It's sharing the art, sharing the creation, making the move. The success happens the moment that you take the action. It doesn't matter the outcome. You have to start taking the action. And eventually, it might not happen the first try or in the 100th try. I mean, we've taken so many bold actions, and a handful of them have turned out to be unimaginable, crazy, amazing outcomes. And most of them, disappointment or whatever. It doesn't matter, but like,
I mean, if
we're having the time of our life.
If you're like meticulously following our journey, like meticulously, which is interesting, you'll be like, oh, that probably flopped. Oh, that did well. Oh, they stopped promoting that. Like, you try things. Because it's a joy to boldly try something. That's the joy. Yes. That's the magic. So that's just, I mean, we're talking a water drop in the ocean of everything that's waiting in that class.
I saw something recently, too, that was saying that, like, especially in the U.S., like, our definition of success is so, like, out of proportion with, it's just so like over dramatized, basically. Basically, this I can't remember the interview, but it was a gentleman saying that if for Americans, if you make $450,000 a year, you're in the top, small percentage of like wealthiest Americans.
I think it's one.
Yeah, it was like 1 or 2%. But we as a society don't barely think being a millionaire is impressive nowadays, right? And that's over double that. And so, you know, and I love, manifesting like, oh, I'm a millionaire. I love like using that word and feeling that energy and feeling abundant. And I want to have a $1 million business, because if we have a $1 million business, that means we're reaching so many people and changing so many people's lives, right? But it really made me go, oh, wow. Yeah, that's fucked up. Like, below that, we don't think that that's like an impressive amount of success, but you're in the top 1% wealthiest people, which also says something about the disproportions of wealth in our country. And there's some ways you can go deeper into that, but just that as a society, you know, unless you're a millionaire, we don't really think like, you know, if someone says, oh, my salary is this, a lot of times we're just thinking like, oh, okay, like that's the, you know, that's not necessarily the thing that we're like, oh my god, they're so successful from a like social standpoint. So I thought that was, I was like, wow, yeah, like I didn't realize that. And so really examining like what is my story of like what success would mean, because when you do shift that into being like, the success is that I wrote something today and shared it on social media, or I made a piece of art, or I updated my resume and sent it out. If you can define that as success and you feel successful every day, that ripples out in your life, and like your life will change so fast when you just redefine what success means to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's this fun balance of like, we're definitely, you know, all about this. It's this fun balance between how big can I dream? How high can I reach? How much can I expand? What numbers can I play with? You know, how big can I be? And then also the balance of like, what do I actually want? What does success look like to me? Is it like, you know, reconstructing a van and living out of it and traveling around? Is mm-hmm. it having, you know, a farm of foster or like rehabilitated animals?
Having four cats?
Like, what is it, you know? Because I think we are conditioned to think that it has to be a very like Kardashian level success.
And even just like, you know, we are, you know, we're coaches, we're coaching and we're manifestation coaches inside the Alchemy Collective and our Activate Your Magic program. And so we, you know, and we've been a part of coaching programs, we've been mentored. And so we follow quite a bit of coaches on Instagram. And it's fading a little bit away now, but mm-hmm. there was so long that the coaches were like, oh, like I had a six-figure month, I had $1 million month. And it really, you know, for me, just seeing that, like, oh, like I'm excited to have a six-figure year, you know, like it's like almost I love being able to see what's possible, but also don't allow it to look at your numbers and say, so I'm not successful, because, oh my gosh, we live and support ourselves, you know, with what mm-hmm. we do. And it's just interesting, like having those numbers always in your face, like, oh, I've had, you know, a year of $1 million months. And it's like, well, I haven't had a year of $1 million months. What does that say about me?
Nothing.
And finding that balance between letting people with that level of success be an inspiration to you and showing you what's possible, and also not letting it mean something about how successful you are.
Yeah, that's been an interesting one to sort of move through mm-hmm. because I think at my core, I love when women share how much money they make.
Yeah.
I love
seeing women make lots of money. Fuck yeah.
Well, if they can do that. And like, there have been some times where like we've been vocal about like a very exciting launch, and I'm really proud of that. Mm-hmm. And I know that it showed some other people what was possible, and I'm sure it pissed some other people off. But yeah. There's just like, there's so much complication and taboo around money. So at the core, I actually am very inspired when I see women do that. But just check in with yourself and make sure, like Sadie said, that if you're seeing it and it's making you feel worse, mm-hmm. like you can mute that for a moment. You know?
And go back and look at your relationship with money and your money mindset. Mm-hmm. And money is amazing because it allows us freedom in our life. It allows us to help ourselves and help others and be stable and, you know, live amazing lives. But it's not the only definition of success. No. If you have lots of money and you're miserable because you're working all day and night to run your business, or, you know, or the corporate job is just too much of a grind or whatever, it's like, okay, maybe you have the impressive money in the bank, but then is that success when you can't enjoy it, right? So it's like there's so many moving parts around it. So to only define success through money, sexy. Yeah, it's just not a complete picture, but it is a fun energy to play in.
I learned who Joan of Arc was this week.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you what I thought. I thought she was a witch that they burned.
Oh.
That was my understanding. Remember when I thought pirates weren't real? Have you all been around long enough for when I realized that pirates are a historically accurate thing?
Still exist today.
It's not like fairies or mermaids. Well, we don't know about, maybe those exist. But you know, you go.
But they're not in that genre of like, you know, hard to tell if they're real or not.
Yeah, you watch Peter Pan growing up, it all seems make believe. What?
So your only reference of pirates?
Well, that was my only reference.
I guess we didn't. No, I don't know if that's true. I feel like we covered it in school. But
I don't know if I did. When I went on the pirates ride with my family this past month, I had a whole new appreciation.
Did you know this is historically accurate?
Wow, look at this. Except for they added a girl pirate, which like really irritated some people. Like, this is not how the ride was. It's like, just who cares? Oh my God,
that's hilarious.
They're animatronic. yeah, Joan of Arc. Wow, I won't get into the whole story. But if, you know, I was thinking like, why didn't they teach me this in high school? And I was like, well, of course they were not going to teach 14 to 17 year old girls that a 14 to 17 year old girl saved France. and was amazing and brave. Oh my gosh, I feel like there's so much that I just did not learn, and I'm happy to share. One of my biggest pet peeves is when people learn something 45 seconds ago and then talk about it like, oh, you don't know that? You don't know that? Also, even if you've known it for 20 years, if I don't know that green means go, like, be nice. You don't know what I've been through and vice versa. Yeah. I can't say, you've never heard about it. No, they haven't heard about it. It's okay.
Do you have some fun bullet points for us about Joan of Arc?
She was super psychic.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She was in communication with angels.
Oh, wow.
The reason that soldiers finally, like, or the generals or the whoever finally like trusted her was because she like told them things about themselves that nobody else would have known. So they were like, okay, fine, you can hang out with us. And the best story is she got shot with an arrow in between like her neck and her shoulder, like this little trapezius, maybe it's called. Mm-hmm. That could also not be it.
Trapezoid?
Yeah. Rhombus.
This rectangle.
So she got shot in her parallelogram. And so, she, you know, this is when her French troops were headed storming this English base or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, no. And she, you know, fell off of a wall she was scaling because the arrow hit her. And she gets on her horse or whatever. And she tries to go back to get some medical attention because she has an arrow in her body, and she notices that her troops are retreating. So with this arrow sticking out of her, this teenage girl gets on her horse, rides back to them and says, charge, charge, and they won that battle. She's the reason France is its own country.
That's crazy. I learned about Joan of Arc from, you know, being Catholic school and picking her to do a project on, but I just like completely forgot everything about her. I was like, I don't remember anything. It was second grade. That was a long time ago.
Oh my gosh, she's amazing.
But I was saying how for First Communion, we all like picked a saint. That was like our, I don't know, like our patron saint or I don't know. We did a project on them and I picked Joan of Arc. And I remember I just like I when I was little, I was like such a tomboy, and she was always pictured in like her armor, and I was just like, Joan of Arc is badass, you know, and I just loved her. But I can't wait to watch and learn more about her because I forgot about that. I was like, oh, wait, I was like connected to her when I was little, and like I thought she was so cool.
Earlier today, Sadie was like, you know, when you're in second grade and you pick a saint because
you have First Communion.
I was like, no, I don't know.
You don't remember, and you eat the body of Christ and you drink his blood, Juliet.
I'm like, no, I learned cursive in second grade.
How did Sadie end up a witch? We learned cursive too on top of that.
They don't teach it anymore.
That's crazy.
They teach computers now, which makes sense, but I love my handwriting is a combination
a mix.
Of both.
Mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So swirly and pretty.
Yeah, I love it. I love my handwriting.
All right, well, now that we've caught up for an hour, let's get into the topic.
Really quick. Now we just start talking really, really fast. No, we won't. That's okay. So last week we learned about Lemuria and Atlantis. And I went down a rabbit hole with Mount Shasta. So if you haven't listened to that episode, definitely go have a listen because Mount Shasta is super interesting. But that got us curious about these like spiritual vortexes around the world. So I learned some fun stuff that I had kind of heard before, but never really dove into. So have you heard of the concept of like the seven earth chakras, just like we have seven chakras?
I have heard of the concept. I cannot tell you where they are.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to tell everyone where they are. This is really interesting. And so there's the seven earth chakras, and then there's also energy vortexes that are separate from the chakras themselves. And then they call the lines that run around the earth ley lines, L-E-Y. And this kind of reminds me of like meridians in our body, just like the energy like the, I don't know, like the trails, the lines, that the way that energy travels through our body to move through our different energy centers. So this is really interesting. And, you know, we had heard over and over and again about Bali being a spiritual vortex, being an energy vortex. And so we wanted to dig into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then we learned so much more beyond that. So really quick, I want to tell you the seven chakras of planet Earth. And then Bali is not a chakra, but it's an energy vortex. And it's really cool what its job is. And it's so funny because we didn't realize this when we created the theme and the sort of theme throughout our retreat, our spiritual retreat, but it has to do a lot with what the center itself is. We intuitively line that up, of course. Okay, so the root chakra, which for us is our root at like the base of our spine. So the root chakra of the earth is found at Mount Shasta, California.
Mount Shasta.
So this root chakra, Mount Shasta, California, USA. Oh, here's a kitten. Hi, which one are you? Oh, Thelma? Yeah. Thelma's here. So this connects us with our inner strength and sense of stability. And then the sacral chakra is found at, I love saying the name of this, like Lake Titicaca. I can't say it without laughing. I'm sorry. This is on the Bolivia-Peru border. The solar plexus chakra of the earth is found at Ayers Rock, known as Uluru, and the Olgas, which is in Australia. This would connect us with our life energy, sense of purpose, and inner strength. The heart chakra is found at Glastonbury and Stonehenge in southern England.
That's the heart?
That's the heart, yeah.
The heart?
The throat chakra is the Great Pyramids of Giza and Mount of Olives in Egypt, a center of communication, truth-seeking, and personal expression. This is really interesting. So the third eye chakra has no fixed location. It moves around. And I don't know. I couldn't tell you how... how they calculate this.
I mean, I think the truth is they guess. But I love that.
I'm sure they can measure energy levels, though, of different things. Because how do they know the chakras of our body, too? You know? So anyways, it says more on this later in this article. I'm on subconsciousservant.com. And so the third eye chakra has no fixed location, but it's currently situated near the heart chakra, so near Glastonbury and Shaftesbury in England, which is interesting. And then the crown chakra is at Mount Kailas in Tibet. So those are the seven chakras. Now, this is what's really cool. So Bali, where we're going on our retreat, and where Julia Roberts loves to act.
She will only take a part if it is being filmed in Bali.
You know what? I feel like that's not... Yeah, same. You know what? If you want me in a movie...
You gotta put the setting in a nice location.
Everyone's, you know, bugging me to be in movies all the time, and I'm like... Not until it's set in Bali.
I know. When I went, oh, now do I have two kitties in my lap?
Oh, Boo's gonna get mad. She always said,
a kiss.
Wow, she's being patient. She usually hisses at them.
Thank you for being sweet.
Boo, so relaxed. Okay, so an energy vortex. So energy vortexes are a little bit different than the chakras, but it's a swirling center of energy. And so it's said that where the ley lines, like these paths that the energy travels from these different places, it's where these lines intersect, a vortex is created. Mm. And so energy is like swirling there. And so just like how we have an electromagnetic field that is measurable up to 4 feet away from us, which is pretty amazing, this is the way that the natural energy is moving. It's electromagnetic energy. Mm. So that would be measurable. Okay, so there's energy vortexes all over the world. So let me see. So Sedona is a famous one that we all have heard about a lot. Es Vedra is a limestone rock jutting out of the Mediterranean Sea off the west coast of the Spanish island of Ibiza. And the legend is that this rock, that the rock is the tip of the sunken city of Atlantis.
Oh.
So that's interesting. So it says that this rock has a really powerful magnetic field, and like birds get disoriented when they like fly over it. Isn't that interesting?
Maybe that rock is in my living room. The energy of that rock.
You gotta check. It's all the crystals. That's why she keeps flying into stuff. There's the Haleakala volcano in Hawaii that's said to be a vortex. Tulum, also a popular spot for spiritual retreats, is said to be an energy vortex. So it's really cool and really interesting. And what specifically, so these different energy vortexes are said to have sort of like different, I describe it as like jobs they do. And the Bali energy vortex specifically is said to be the world's purification center. So the energy, as it moves through the Bali vortex, the energy is cleansed and purified, which is a big theme in our retreat. The first half of it, we're really focusing on cleansing ourselves, ridding ourselves of the, you know, sort of the spiritual baggage that we carry around that tells us stories mm-hmm. about what we can and can't do in our lives. So it's really cool. So let me see. I read something cool in here. So energy vortexes are where energy spirals and flows up and out, and they're intense points that can amplify any emotion you experience and can link you to the stage of energy that aligns best with your present state of being. So very healing locations to be. So Bali has six sacred sites, and so Bali is said to be the location of the Earth's Kundalini energy. And it's where the energy of the planet gets cleansed, which is absolutely amazing. And I'm on ElevateLifeHolistic.com. Elevate is spelled with a number 8. but this is really cool. So one of these sites we are going to do a full cleansing ritual there, which is the Tirtha Ampul Temple. And this article says that this specific sacred site is where the ether element gets cleansed. So we're familiar with the four elements of earth, fire, water, and air. And then some would say that the fifth element is ether, which is like spirit. So we are going to the sacred site, Tirtha Ampul. It's part of our retreat, and you get to go into these sacred waters and be cleansed. And I think that's so cool. When I read this, it made me so excited because it's specific to the ether element. So it's like, we are going to be cleansed on like a deep soul level. I'm so ready. So it's pretty amazing. And these, some of the other energy vortexes around the world are connected to different things. But of course, we were especially excited to learn about the Bali one that we're going to. But it's pretty amazing. And when people are very naturally drawn, and so you'll kind of see like wherever there's popular spiritual retreat destinations, it's a vortex. Like, we're just, as humans, we know and we're drawn to them. And it's pretty incredible.
Oh my gosh, I want to read some of the stuff I found. So I'm gonna name some other energy vortexes. So you said Sedona, Tulum. Mm-hmm. They also had Jerusalem in Israel. Mm. And I've been there, and I can tell you 1,000%.
Yes.
Like, you, it is disorienting.
Mm-hmm.
It is disorienting.
I've heard that.
And there's just so, like, there's also just everybody in the world of all different religions is coming yeah. there to pray, like, at the mm-hmm. same time. It's fascinating. Cape Town, South Africa, Moscow, Russia, mm-hmm. the Bermuda Triangle, Lake Louise in Canada. I've never heard of that.
Wow.
Antigua, Guatemala, and Angkor Wat in Cambodia.
Oh, I saw that one. Mm-hmm.
Let me read this. This is just totally reiterating what you said, but I like how this phrased it. Just like we have veins that flow in and out of our heart, Mother Earth has ley lines, which are lines of energy that coil around the earth in a similar fashion as a strand of DNA. Mm. And I looked up the picture, and
this is kind of cool. It shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the different gateways. There's a little map.
In fact, where the ley lines intersect are believed to be high points of energy or high concentrations of electrical charge. And there's also this idea that the ley lines can take information from those high charge places and share them with the rest of the world.
Oh, wow.
I love the feeling that the earth is alive.
Well, and imagine that, because we go, like, how we're, you know, we're all going to Bali to meet with this intention of, like, growing and connecting in a spiritual way, and the healing that we're going to experience there, and the transformation we're going to experience there, and the positive intentions we're going to set there in those sacred spaces, like, that gets carried out into the world, that, like, positive intention.
Ripple effect. These intersecting points along the ley lines are also coincidentally home to some of the most sacred temples and monuments in the world, including the Egyptian pyramids, Machu Picchu, Stonehenge, mm-hmm. and again, Angkor Wat, which I'm probably saying wrong, and I apologize. When you look into advanced civilizations like the ancient Egyptians, it is clear that they seem to understand the energy and power of ley lines. In fact, most ancient cultures around the world seem to have some understanding of ley lines. In China, they are known as dragon lines. Mm. South America, the shamans referred to them as spirit lines. In Australia, the ancient Aboriginals called them dream lines. And in the West, they are ley lines. So again, it's like, you know, different civilizations that probably didn't have contact with each other all came up with this same wisdom. That is always so amazing to me. Are the odds?
It's just like the same thing that we just learned about with the pineal gland and it being represented in like every world culture, every amazing. Religion. It's just like we know, and it's not a coincidence that across time, across space, that there's all of these synchronicities, but just these alignments of like we're all talking about the same things. It's incredible.
Let's see. I want to go through what I found. So I was on a website called BaliSpiritFestival.com. And it's funny because they put Bali on top, even though it's not one of the main chakras. And rest of the ones they listed were the main chakras. They're like, yeah, we'll throw Bali in there too. But it is an energy center and it's a powerful one. So let's start with Mount Shasta, the root. This volcano is surrounded by dark green forests, which stretch all the way to the sacred site. The sacred site of Oregon?
Oh!
Shout out to our sacred friends in Oregon. It has extremely potent energy that is said to awaken the crown chakra. Oh, that's funny, because yours said it was the root chakra. You know, I'm not sure how with it this article writer was. Native Americans share stories of Mount Shasta being the center of the universe, and many ceremonies still take place there. Throwback to last week, it is also believed to be the dimensional gate of the Lemurian civilization. Ah,
we've had Atlantis and Lemuria come up today.
Let's see if there's anything else here. Sacral Lake Titicaca carries, is that how it's said?
I think so. That's how I've always heard it said.
Carries,
it says titty and it says caca.
It has it all. Carries the energy like a womb of creation, known as the sacred gateway to birth new ideas and balance sexual energy. And it's very close to Machu Picchu and Cusco. Ooh. Sacral chakra is Peru. And you know what? Peru is the one country where I was very popular in as an artist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I would get so many letters written in Spanish. And I was a top 20 radio artist on there, on like the Kiss FM of Peru.
So cool.
It was a glitch like none other. And it was the most exciting like 6 months. I'm sure I could reach out and I would like sell out a venue. It'd be so
you fun. Should. Well, let's go.
Okay, well, we'll do a trip where we go to... Wait a second. We need to do an ongoing series, like a 5-year goal, where we hit all the chakras of the earth and the vortexes.
Yeah.
Starting with Bali!
Who's coming with us?
You should come. It's going to be amazing. Look, I know it's a long flight. You're going to get on the plane. You're going to take whatever you need to sleep on that flight. Mm-hmm. That's up to you. I'm not going to say anything. And you're going to wake up and you're going to be there. That's what I'll be doing. Taking my plane vitamins. Okay.
My plane vitamins. These are my airplane vitamins. I take the drowsy Dramamine and melatonin.
You know what? You could do drowsy Dramamine and order like some type of alcoholic beverage. You're not supposed. This is not advice. Don't take
not
it.
Not medical advice.
That's how I remember 10 minutes of the flight back from Israel because I did drowsy Dramamine and like a wine or something.
Wow. It was gone. All right.
But I don't recommend it. Don't do it.
I'm pretty good.
But do it if you want.
I'm pretty good sleeper on planes, but I do have a 16-hour flight that starts at midnight. And I'm like, damn, I wish it started at like 5 p.m. so I could be awake for, because I can't sleep 16 hours, but I'm supposed to like start sleeping.
You might
take, but I'm like, if vitamins. I start sleeping at midnight and I sleep for 8 hours, which would be generous on a plane, then I still have 8 more hours to go. I wish it was like be awake, watch
4 Julia Roberts in Bali movies. You'll be there.
What other movies is Julia Roberts starring in that are located in Bali? Send me your recommendations. I'll probably rewatch Eat, Pray, Love and Ticket to Paradise because I'm so excited about freaking Bali. But I was like, I wish it was like I could... midnight is late for me, so I'm not going to be able to stay awake. But I'm like, I could watch like 2 movies. That's 4 hours and then sleep for 8 hours and then I have 4 hours after that. But anyway, that's what's been keeping me up at night. Anyways, back to you, Julie.
All right, solar plexus, Uluru, Australia.
I need to figure out where that is because could I go to that? I'm about to be in
Australia.
The
native Australian Aboriginals believe that Uluru is the spiritual place where their ancestors were born, dating back more than 500 million years. This article is terrible. Let me read it. Dating back more than 500 million years, anything is possible! Exclamation point.
Oh,
it's also known as Ayers Rock. Can be found in the center of the Australian desert.
Nope, that's not where I will be going.
You can not go to the center of the Australian desert.
I just found it on the map. I was like, oh,
that sounds safe.
It's dead center. I will be over here.
You don't. No, it looks safe. You should do it. This magnetic point connects to Lake Titicaca and Uluwatu by the female great dragon line known as the Rainbow Serpent in Australia. This wow. giant rock is quite remarkable. It changes colors according to the weather, varying from bright red to dark gray and black. It once even turned violet.
Wow, I'm looking at pictures of it right now. It's pretty cool.
Oh, that does look...
It kind of looks like Arizona.
I'm like, you know, I can see... Oh, there's a violet. Travel.
I don't know. That might be edited.
That looks pretty edited.
That's definitely edited. On further glance.
All right, it's a mountain. It's
bright red. You know, go to Arizona.
All right, let's... Heart.
I'm definitely not going to travel out to the middle of the desert to see it, but it is very beautiful.
Beautiful. Okay, Stonehenge, Avalon, and Glastonbury, the mm-hmm. heart chakra. There are many ley lines running through all of Britain. Do you love how I proofread none of this before we started? But the lines around this area are particularly interesting, with an intersection of 14 lines at Stonehenge. Here you will find over 100 upright stones in a circular shape, said to be an ancient burial site. Here, the female great dragon ley lines connect all the way to Uluru, plus many other sacred sites around the world. Could it be a communication portal to the fifth dimension?
Oh, the fifth dimension. By the way, if you're going to start planning your trip to all the energy vortexes like us, make sure you get your witchy travel guide.
Oh my gosh, we made you a witchy travel guide. It's free.
It's so cute. It's free. It's fun. And it's in the show notes. It's a little witchy travel guide, ways that we stay grounded when we're moving around a lot. And I also did a little tidbit just about my very simple, basic, but helpful recommendations for solo travel, because I've gotten so many DMs that are like, oh my gosh, I want to travel, but like, my group of friends just can't get their shit together. We never make a solid plan. I want to go by myself, but I'm nervous. And like, you just got to go. You got to do it. Like, no more waiting around. So I also have some tips in there for that. And then we also share some more details about our Bali retreat in there too. So you can get it all.
Witchy packing essentials, clearing the energy in the new spaces you're staying in, protecting yourself, grounding yourself, solo travel. It's a really great little guide. It was fun to make. Mm-hmm. So make sure you grab that. Throat, chakra, Cairo, ooh, Egypt. Okay, I have something to say about this. So it says the pyramids of Egypt, is one I am sure you have heard of. A fifth grader started this paragraph. The pyramids of Egypt is one I am sure you have heard of. The Great Pyramid of Giza is named as one of the seven wonders of the world. Was it created with extraterrestrial assistance? Perhaps the pharaoh's alignment with the energetic grid made it possible. It remains a beautiful mystery, but the ley lines could very well have something to do with it. So this is funny, and I cannot take credit for this because I heard a comedian say it. I don't know who it was. But it's everybody questions like, oh, aliens helped with the ones in Egypt. Mm-hmm. But the other pyramids around the world were like, oh no, people made those. Like, no one questions the other ones.
Yeah.
We're like, oh no, people. But then in Egypt we're like aliens. And I think it could be either or all or a combination anywhere. But how come only in Egypt? Like, there's pyramids in Mexico. There's pyramids in other places.
I've heard theories with aliens and the Mexican pyramids
too. Okay. I need to dig deeper.
There's
then.
A really cool carving inside one. I don't know if it's inside one of the pyramids itself or in a cave near them, but there's a really interesting carving of it's, you know, like a human looking figure, but he's in the position that astronauts are in for takeoff.
Oh yes.
And he's got like a thing. He looks like he's in an astronaut suit. He's got a thing over his head, and he's in the shape of a rocket.
Oh, I just gotta chill.
And this was carved, you know, a very, 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 very long time ago. So there's this theory that, like, you know, people in ships did come down and like teach technology and help make these things, and then they took their rockets back. Cause like, how would they conceive of carving something like
that?
Well,
didn't we do an episode on this once? Like an ancient alien thing.
I think we did. I think that's why I learned it.
Because I remember all these ancient civilizations have these, well, I shouldn't say all, but many have these documentations of the gods coming down from the sky and helping them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they're in like little
flying saucers and rocket. Yeah.
And like, it's like, crazy. Are they the gods or were they just from some other place?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they compared it to when, I guess, a plane landed in a place where, you know, modern society wasn't making contact with this particular group of people, how they thought, oh my God, the gods are here. They thought it was God coming.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, well, that would make a lot of sense if it's like, oh, the heavens opened up and down came this being, and it was a god or a goddess. And oh, times were much more interesting then.
Yeah. Times are interesting now, though.
I mean,
too.
That's true.
Got some interesting things going on.
Crown chakra.
Ooh.
We're going to skip the third eye because she travels.
Oh, yeah. It said more on that later in that one article. Where did it? But I never found more on that later.
Mount Kalias, Himalayan mountains. Open your eyes to see your true self on this sacred mountain in Tibet. A spiritual place to connect the higher astral planes for insights from other dimensions. For years, this has been a pilgrimage site for many religions. Hinduism, Buddhism, the Tibetans, When walking down the mountain, it is recommended to circle clockwise in the direction of the Earth's chakra's energy to cultivate it. Oh, there's like a way to move. Ooh. I want to go to all these places now.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it where it said more on that later about the third eye chakra, which does not have more on it.
Where in the world is Carmen third eye chakra? Where is she now?
But this person is saying on the subconsciousservant.com article, what's her name? I just said it. Chloe wrote this article.
Hey, Chloe.
Parpworth Reynolds. But saying that, like, traveling to these places can be incredibly powerful for manifestation, for enhancing your ability to visualize and tap into your intuition and all of these things, which is very exciting because we're traveling to them. But if that's not accessible for you right now, it can also be a fun practice to, like, include their image on, like, your vision board to...
Ooh, or, like, a meditation.
Practice visualizing. Like, doing a visualization meditation of, like, being at the pyramids and maybe, like, going into them and seeing, like, what your mind's eye, like, has you discover and things like that. So there's, you know... I'm excited to specifically have the opportunity to travel to some of these places, but there's so many ways you can, like, tap into the energy. Oh my gosh, now.
Go on YouTube and type in, you know, insert the city, the location, Machu Picchu, Bali, wherever it is, and, like, 4K video.
Yeah.
And just get lost for, like, an hour and see what you can feel. You know, we do... photo readings in the Alchemy Collective for our psychics, and, you know, it a picture really does say 1,000 words. Like, you'd be amazed at what you can feel and pick up on through a picture. So I love that. You know, if traveling is for you right now, like, go for it. And if it's not, like, there's other ways to get in the magic of it. And
That's so great.
Well, that's really all I have here from this okay article.
Look at us, so prepared. We were just really excited to be together, and to be honest, we threw this together at the last minute.
could you tell? Surprise!
You know, we're all about honesty here at Goddess Inks, and so don't forget to get your witchy travel guide. We didn't even bother talking about the other stuff we've got going on. Well, we talked about the Alchemy Collective class. Make sure if you
are really excited
about the Bold AF Action Replay. We're embracing our big Aries energy. We're about to enter Aries season in a couple weeks. We're like a week when this comes out.
It's coming up.
It's coming up very fast. So... time to get in the energy now, start building up the momentum so that during Aries season you're ready to take big bold action. Today or tomorrow.
There are lessons from every sign of the zodiac. And we can all, even if you're like, oh, well, I don't have Aries in my chart at all, we can tap into any of it at any time.
We technically have every, because the night sky is over us and it exists when we're born, so even if there's not a specific planet, you know, like, we have the influence of every sign within us. That's why it's so fun. This is why it's also an important piece of the Alchemy Collective that we work with the new and full moon every month.
We had a really lovely
because when you do that, you do tap into every single sign's energy, both from the new moon and the full moon perspective throughout a year. And so when you're examining your life and your spiritual journey and the way you manifest and the way you move through the world, it's a well-rounded approach, right? It's not just from, like, one viewpoint, but when you think about, like, Pisces energy, Aries energy, when we're going through these different seasons, it's like, ooh, how does that play a role in my life? How do I want it to play a role in my life? Do I want to embrace more of the dreamy Pisces energy? Do I want to, you know, move with some of that fiery Aries energy? Like, it all, like, works together so beautifully and sets us up for success. So that's why we love working with this energy and why it's an important part of the Alchemy Collective.
I wanted to ask you, of all the places that we talked about today, other than Bali, of course, would you be most excited? Like, if somebody said, I'm booking you a first class trip, world accommodations, you get to bring whoever you want, like...
10,000% Egypt.
Me too. That's what I was going to say. And I would bring you and I would bring my mommy because she loves Egypt.
Yeah. I feel like I'm being called the Egypt big right now. Like, it's so funny because when I booked my New Zealand trip, like, everyone I was following on Instagram was suddenly, like, in New Zealand and Australia. And I was like, okay, I guess that's confirmation that I meant to be there. And now everyone I'm following is in Egypt right now. And I'm like, okay, I'm clearly being called to Egypt. Like, not right now. I'm doing my, you know, trip that I'm doing. But I'm like, okay, after this run, like, Egypt needs to be next.
Mm-hmm. I will go with.
Being called to that big time. And I want to crawl through the pyramids. And I want to do it all. I'm so excited.
Mm. So exciting.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful world we live in. It's a wild world and a chaotic world. But it's also a beautiful world and a magical world. And it's really just the honor and the joy of our lives to help you live magically.
Oh yeah, we didn't even do the intro of the
oh my gosh, no we didn't.
Well, we'll recap right now. I'm Sadie
and I'm Juliet. Obviously.
And we inspire you to live magically. And if you want to work closer with us, you can join us inside the Alchemy Collective. We meet live 6 times a month.
Six.
Witchy rituals. We do master classes. There's a whole library. It's like over 30 hours. I literally did the math. By now, it's like 35 plus hours of master classes, meditations, guided tappings, all these tools for you live.
You will not be able to get rid of us.
Magical life.
You're going to love
it. It's like your own witchy, empowering, manifesty
Netflix.
It's the best. We also have our free witchy manifesting guide you can grab. It's 51 pages. Mm-hmm. It's so fun. There's so much magic in the show notes, so make sure you take a little peek. There's the witchy travel guide there. Make sure you're following us on social media. The handles are the same on TikTok and Instagram. At Goddess Hangs. I'm at I am Sadie Olson.
I'm at Juliet.Piper.
And come to Bali with us and hang out with us in the Alchemy Collective. And we're so grateful for you for listening to the podcast.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.